And the third voice you're going to hear is that of a man. He's got a broken lawnmower. On Twitter, he's NPL player Oscopes, but here he is Damon Serra.
Well, fact-checking once again.
Oh, no. Sean. Oh, shit.
The lawnmower is fixed.
Oh, hell
fixed
yes.
It.
Only the truth here okay. On this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And...
Okie dokie, you should read Don Quixote. Here we go with another episode of The Four-Man Wall, a podcast on Australian football / soccer at its finest. I'm your host, Deshaun, and joining me from the probably overcast eastern suburbs, he thinks Terry Antonis is the GOAT right now. It's the Melbourne City mega fan, Andy Gibson.
Thanks, Deshaun. Lovely warm welcome as always, mate. Looking forward to getting into this week and discussing the carnage that was at Amy Park last night. City boys, the big win. And, discussing the potentially the greatest A-League goal of all time. Let's get into it.
Greatest goal of all time, full stop. Who needs the A-League? That shit was
indeed
elite. The third voice you're going to hear is that of a man who's been a sim racer since Forza 5. On X, he's player Oscopes. Here, he is Damon Serra.
Yes, Deshaun, that is correct. Yes. I don't know if there's much more to follow up with there, but good to be back regardless.
we're glad to have you. Glad to have you here, Damo. Good stuff. We're in a good run here. And last but not least, he saw some trains the other day. It's Nicholas.
Oh, mate, so many trains. Not one, not two, but like 40.
40 trains.
Yeah, mate, it was outrageous. Newport Workshops, it only happens once every 2 years. It's almost as infrequent as the Olympics. Same frequency as the Olympics if you count the Winter Olympics.
This is true.
Yeah, mate, saw Heavy Harry. Didn't know what a Heavy Harry was until I saw there was a sign saying you should look at Heavy Harry.
Okay.
The wheels were as big as me.
That's some pretty big wheels.
There's some pretty big wheels, and
I bet that Harry was quite heavy.
Yeah. Quite heavy indeed, and got to go in a V-line locomotive, and fuck shit up.
I bet the favourite train you saw last weekend was the one that Melbourne City ran on Western Sydney, though. Surely.
Oh, mate. It was a great train. My favourite train of all time is One Train by ASAP Rocky off Long Live ASAP.
Yep.
Featuring Joey Badass.
Kendrick Lamar. Action Bronson, yeah. It's
Action
a good song.
Bronson, Big Crit, Danny Brown.
Danny Brown's on it, yep.
Yeah.
Yellow Wolf, but we don't want to flesh on. Yeah, it's a big song. It's a big song. It's a cypher. It's very good. There's a lot to talk
Except
about
Danny
tonight.
Brown.
And a lot of it is going to be Melbourne City based. We're also going to split the wool on something that has nothing to do with food for the first time in a while. But first things first, the A-League did happen. Games were played. I'll run you through the scores and then I'll throw to the boys for some deep chats. First things first, Western Sydney lost to Western United 3-1. City beat the Phoenix 1-0. Victory got up in the original rivalry 2-1 over Adelaide there. Perth and Newcastle 2-all draw. Brisbane and Sydney a 1-1 draw. Central Coast keep rolling 3-0 over Macarthur. And then just yesterday, Melbourne City beat Western Sydney 7-0. So, Andy, you weren't here last week, so I'll throw to you first. I have a bit of an inkling as to where you're going to go with this. But what is the first game you want to talk about and why?
You're a fake fan, Andy.
Oh, geez. All right, Nick. Geez, do I save the best for last or do I get it out of the way first? Look, the time that our last episode dropped, the one that I wasn't here, City's season was looking close to being all over. And, then they've had two very important wins, even when you take out the shiny 7-0 factor, the both of those wins, one against the Wanderers as well as the one against Phoenix, very important to the table, and they've now jumped up into sixth place. So a lot could change in 1 week. So they've sort of revitalized the season and kept it alive. So Yeah, it's been a great week for City, beating the table leaders, and then obviously the 7-0 scoreline against the Wanderers. So, yeah, so unpredictable this season, just seeing the bottom of, you know, the bottom of the lows and high highs. You know, back at the start of the season, we lost 6-0 to Adelaide, and then you jump forward, we beat Brisbane 8-1, and then Brisbane beat us, whatever it was, 5-6 goals. And now this, so
yeah,
it's been a seesawing season, but yeah, still alive, which is good.
Yeah, this win equaled the biggest winning margin by, well, not the biggest, but it was the second biggest, I think.
Biggest.
Seven goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you also did earlier in the season against Brisbane. So twice in one season is not too bad.
No.
But yeah, we talked about it yesterday at Futsal about how up and down Melbourne City have been this year. Like, what's the cause of that? Why so mixed?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to say. It's, yeah, find it hard to figure it out. I mean, maybe the fact that, you know, our season was on the line, and if we didn't beat Wellington, our season was over. Maybe that was enough of a motivating factor to the squad to, you know, put in a solid performance. I don't know. They should be going out into every game with that attitude, you know, but obviously it doesn't work like that. Maybe it was that. Maybe it takes the, you know, being on death row, I suppose, for the season to pull out a good performance. But, and maybe it's that continuity, like it was an unchanged lineup between the two games and just gone from strength to strength. So, players not getting injured helps as well. But, yeah, it's hard to say. I don't know, but hopefully they can keep doing it.
Damo will tell you the reason why Melbourne City are winning. And I believe his first name starts with Max. Well,
yes,
his first name is Max.
Let's hear it, Damo.
Old Caputo, eh? Second start for City. And
Caputo.
All it took was a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust, and a little bit of Jamie McLaren needing a rest. for him to start playing, and obviously as soon as he does, Melbourne City start winning. So
maybe he's the secret ingredient.
Continue. Absolutely. Caputo. If anyone knows, Caputo is actually the flour of choice for pizzas. You can look it up.
Did Caputo not know that.
Flour is top notch. So
really,
much similarly to the flour, Max Caputo is certainly rising to the challenge.
Primo stuff,
like,
brother.
Just like the Caputo flower, you could say Melbourne City have been needing to rise up like a good pizza. Need and rise.
Oh my gosh,
Andy, I got a question for you. Would you consider yourself a Melbourne City fan?
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, and you make an effort to go to the games? Can I put the question forward to you? How come you've missed a combined 110 minutes of Melbourne City action, and you've taken the ship down with you? How come?
What do you mean, taking the ship down?
And it's been 180 minutes of off action on offer, and you've missed 110 of those minutes. How come?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your constituents want to know why you're not going to the parliament that is Amy Park.
How many games have you been to this year, mate? I haven't seen you there much.
Oh, wow.
Were you there on Tuesday?
I'm back.
Well, mate, I would have gone, but you declined my invite.
I didn't have to go for you to go.
Oh, well, mate, would have been, it's go there for the company. This should be a compliment to yourself.
Okay, this is going off track real quick. Nick, I want to ask you a question. Of the two wins, 1-0 against Phoenix, 7-0 against Western Sydney, which was the more important win in your mind?
Well, I just want to preface with saying I love Andy.
Thanks.
And I wish him all the best, except when Collingwood play. Wish him all the worst. I would say 7-0 win was better.
Mm-hmm.
7 times better. But because I feel like the 1-0 win could have... the 1-0 win was a flash in the pan. City were a better team, but that was coming off poor form. You know, it's tough to tell, like, you know, if that's, you know, just good luck. Playing in stifling conditions, one goal would have been enough for either team. When you factor in fatigue, it was unnatural conditions, especially for the Wellington players. Not that Melbourne's much hotter than Wellington. But I think the 7-0 is like complete dominance. It's important to take it. Western City is no good, but if you're wanting to stamp yourself in the top six, it's important to take advantage of teams when they're shit. So,
and Western Sydney is shit right now.
Yeah. 4 weeks ago, you would have been like 7-0. That's impossible. But coming off losses against Western United and Sydney FC of multiple goals, I would have been happy enough with 3 goals. With 2 goals even.
Of course. But
7 is pretty good, if I do say so myself. But the most entertaining part of a Melbourne City game is, of course, the halftime activation.
Yep.
There's a lot on offer.
Yeah, I saw some very interesting characters in the halftime activation getting out there and making a bit of a fool of themselves, trying to juggle the ball.
Well, I got some feedback after the game, and it was, why would you embarrass yourself? Why would you embarrass yourself just for a ball from a person in our circles? And I just want to say I'm not 14 years old. I don't have high school social credit to worry about. That person is older than 14, by the way.
But, congratulations.
Very much no embarrassment there. And just want to say, see this? Signed, mate, by the team. We got a top cob here, Marin Jackalish right here. And where's the main man? There, number 37, Max Caputo.
Hey. Maxi Caputo, the pizza man.
Worth like a few $100 in the future.
Yeah, but was it worth going on live television, trying to juggle a ball and lasting about 5 seconds before you lost control?
Like to say,
that's generous.
Four-man ball has bigger audiences than Melbourne City on a rescheduled match because of a heat wave against Wellington Phoenix. I will say though, shout out to the Knicks fans. Can you hear me? Considering I'm not.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Shout out to the Wellington Phoenix fans. They are more fans there than Melbourne City.
Just leave the ball.
They had.
It's gone.
Still fell.
They had more fans, I reckon, in the Wellington away bay than the Melbourne City away bay. And it was just so unfortunate I didn't get the result because they were heaving. And a bit of a semi-peak moment, but it's not public. Oh, it's not publicly known. Like, it hasn't gone viral, so I can't make a PK leg moment. But messages have been leaked to the four-man wall that someone tried to approach Giancarlo Italiano for his match-worn collared shirt, which was pretty dapper down, and he got rubbed off apparently.
Told calmly and nicely to leave.
Which is a bit disappointing because I was joking about doing the same, and it's what I got from that is Giancarlo is a hero and don't meet him.
Yep, totally fair, reasonable. But back to the football, obviously Melbourne City, a couple of huge wins. Damo, who are the players in your mind who are kind of the most important in this rebound in form, shall we say?
You have to say probably, I want to say Jackalish. But I know he probably wouldn't get the plaudits, but I think it starts down back, and I think Suprayan has been quite good, obviously, in the last couple of weeks, and he probably
goal against Wellington Phoenix as well.
Yeah, exactly. He probably needed to be, I don't know. I think he just needed to step up. He needed to show some more maturity, some leadership, and kind of help get the team forward. Yeah, I think it's kind of started from him. But then you've also got the likes of Yakalish and Natel, who have sort of been...
Natel's...
Yeah, but you say that, but he's pretty good. He, like, compared to some of the other imports that have come to the league, he's certainly not the worst, and I think he definitely can do a job, and I don't think people are kind of respecting his performances enough as they probably should have, because he definitely does a job, and I think he's been handy for Melbourne City.
In my opinion, perfection is the enemy of the good here, but he was probably the weakest link going forward. But he was really good, for example, when he was in the Brisbane Roar route. So it's just he's frustrating one-on-one, in my opinion, and or on the counter-attack.
Everyone has their games, but I think speaking of good performances, we have to mention Tarry Antonis's goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck, it was unbelievable.
I think it makes it even sweeter that it's against Marco Ruggier, who throws him out for pretty much an entire year at West
Didn't City. Give him a single minute of game time last year.
Wanderers, and just goes and just celebrates in front of the
straight
bench.
To the bench. Straight there.
To the bench.
It was good.
Tells him that's what you missed out on all last year. Fair enough, I say. And also another funny little story is that his brother, his younger brother, who was at the Western Sydney Academy, who's now left after not being given a single shot after playing somewhat decently for the Western Sydney Academies, he left as well. And on his story, he said something along the lines of, that's pretty much what you get.
Totally fair.
So,
totally fair.
Obviously, the Antonises and Western Sydney are not good friends at the moment.
Not seeing eye to eye. I don't think Redan has many friends at the moment.
No, exactly.
But we'll get to that in a second because, you talk about good Melbourne City players, and I had this thought, Andy, you are a genius, and I guess, dominion over this particular segment called Andy's Top Cob. So I want to ask you, give me your top five Melbourne City players of all time.
Yeah.
Run it by me.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Had to think long and hard about this, and I'm probably going to start World War III after this. Everyone will have their opinions, which is fine. But disclaimer, I suppose I didn't grow up watching the A-League, so haven't seen as much of the old City legends, I suppose, compared to the newer ones.
There has to be three names.
What?
It has to be three names in there
of
that have to be
past there. Players. You've got three that have to be there. Okay, jeez.
Yeah,
watch me
here. We'll see how we go.
We'll see how we go, indeed. Max Caputo, straight to number one after the weekend. it's hard to
fuck my phone.
Hard to narrow it down to five, but I've given it my best shot anyway. I'll start at number five. This one pains me to say it a bit because, it's a little bit of a snake and all, but that's all right. Bruno Fornaroli coming in at number five.
Oh, get your facts right. He's not a snake.
We're not starting this argument. That's not what it's all about. But, obviously you can't deny he was great at Melbourne City when he was there. He was, a prolific goal scorer. So
still a legend.
What's that?
Legend, absolutely.
Oh, legend.
He's still a legend.
We'll go with that. Moving on. Number four spot. I've gone with Scotty Jamieson. Now, a lot of people might not agree with me here, but hear me out. He's not the flashiest player. Wasn't the flashiest player. He wasn't a goal scorer, obviously, but he was just a true leader for the club. And I think through that, successful period of the last few years, he was a massive part of that. And his leadership and his he cared so much about the club, I think, and you know, having not been inside the four walls, it seemed like, you know, he had the whole dressing room's respect. And, I think the players all played for him, and he was just such a great captain. And he's obviously still at the club in a coaching role, so he's, still got that leadership skill. But, obviously played lots of games for us as well, so he's up there. And I've got the list here. How many games did he play? Anyway, I don't have it in front of me, but lots of games. I've got him. So, yeah, as I said, not your flashiest player, but still very important in the club's history. Coming in at number three, I've gone with Curtis Good. Now, again, he's probably not one of the flashier players. Hear me out. He is the all-time appearance record holder for Melbourne City. He has won a Player of the Season before. And he has, overall, in his career, his lengthy career, he's been rock solid at the back of the City. And, part of that successful period and was just, a very important player. So I've had to squeeze him in there. Number two, I've gone with Geordie Boss. Now, he was obviously they're a lot shorter of a time compared to the last two players.
Real quick, did you guys see the screamer he scored on the weekend? Fucking good goal.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Banged it.
Absolutely. Good weekend for screamers. But, I just think very different reasons for the first few players I've mentioned. But just in terms of the talent he has and the size of the impact that he made on the club in the short period that he was there, he was worth a mention. So on pure talent alone, I think he gets in there. And we've spoken about him a lot on this pod, so he's going to have a great career, I believe. Last but not least, probably no surprises to you guys here, but I've had to go with J-Mac. I just couldn't go past him, you know. He's obviously it hasn't been his best season this year, but he's the all-time A-League goal scoring record holder for a reason. And as much as people might say he's a tap-in merchant and this and that, you just can't look past the stats. And it's not like he's had a one-off fluky season like a lot of players do and disappear. He's done it time and time again. Won 5 Golden Boots in the A-League now, I think. And he's another one of those players that seems to really care about the club. And I don't think you need to justify it more than that.
J-Mac, Geordie Boss, Curtis Good, Scotty Jamison, and Bruno Funaroli.
Yes, that's my list.
Called Funaroli a snake.
All right, Damo, how many of the three names did he get?
One.
Was that Jamison?
No, that was J-Mac.
J-Mac, yeah, right. Okay.
I should have had first. Moy in there somewhere. Moy was a tough one to leave out.
I was thinking Aaron Moy's pretty good.
Who's Harry Navio?
No love Alex Thayer. Patrick Cusnorbo.
Yeah, PK. I did think about him. I did. I don't know. It's hard to squeeze him into five, man. It's a tough job. Top comp's not
there's a lot of good players. Not David Villa with his 4 appearances for the club.
What about Orlando Engela? Tim Cahill?
Yeah, I thought about
Cahill. Did score a winner.
Yeah, again, that's a single incident.
Yeah.
Got to do more.
I mean, we could play, what about this guy all day? But,
What about Daniel Alzani?
I agree with Gibbo, actually.
I agree
with everything because it's his opinion, except his opinion that Fornaroli is a snake. It's factually incorrect because he got frozen out by Warren Joyce. Key part of A-League history here. Got frozen out by Warren Joyce. He was made to do a move outside of the transfer window and couldn't play for 6 months because he signed in February and he couldn't play until 2019 with Perth Glory. So he got stiff-ended. So, it's not a snake. The club forced him out.
Still a snake. Some
interesting names that I've just reading through their list of players. He's just
trying to revive for his career.
Scotty Galloway, Connor Metcalf, Dario Vidicic, The King, Michael Mifsud, obviously, has to be in the conversation.
What about Streets Will Never Forget,
We're talking Melbourne Heart as well.
Is that Alex Terror. Yeah, we are.
Okay.
But no, Marco Tilio is the one I'm really surprised by from Andy. Yeah, Andy loves Tilio. Yeah. No,
I do love Tilio. I do. I always will. He was a tough one to leave out as well. But again, five spots is not many.
No love for Andrew Redmayne.
what about Tommy Glover?
Yeah, again,
Thomas Sorensen.
Yeah, look, mate, we could name all day.
Craig Goodwin?
Again, we could play this game all day, but I appreciate your effort. Thanks for putting that in, Andy. I love it. Good effort from your end. But we'll go back to the football, obviously. One side of the equation, Melbourne City, riding high, 7-0. The other side of the equation, Western Sydney, are in absolute dramas. Nick, have you been following all the Marco Rodan drama since the game?
Oh, well, I know that there's a lot of apathy towards Marco Rodan from the fan base. I'll be honest, I'm struggling to figure out where it's all going wrong. I think it's a case, it seems like the fans are saying that he's lost the squad. But that's just the commentary on the internet. What I did find, he's been firing out of sorts, you know, like he was the good cop, you know, when he was the good guy when he went up and, paid for the yellow fever's beers on their pub crawl, $800 worth. Bad cop, you know, when he, went on a blast against the referees repeatedly. And now he's super bad cop when he's sending out his assistant to do the press conferences.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, how do you picture these things? Like, Marco's like, I'm not gonna fucking do it. Fuck. It's like, you know, it's a bit cowardice, you know, unless, you know, like there's some sort of issue that the club hasn't cleared up. And like, did I not think about, okay, the first question you're gonna, it's a bit of media training, doesn't it? Like, the first question you're gonna get is, where's Marco Rodan? And like, just come up with something out of your ass at least. Like,
he's like, I don't know. He legit had no idea.
I just say, look, it's been a tough night. A lot of young boys on the ground, and he just needed to stay in the rooms and kind of keep all the boys within like a decent mindset after that kind of bashing. So,
also,
anything other than what he said would have been fine. But obviously, these people just have no idea.
I just like to say, feels good for City to finally prove they can score 7 goals against someone that isn't Matt Acton and someone actually,
fuck you,
of standard. Socceroo, every goalie.
Well, did you see this? Because the other Rodan stuff, like, obviously there's the famous photo now of him laughing while Antonis is celebrating in front of him. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. There's also a bit of speculation about some kind of beef within the dressing room.
I heard about this.
This is on Reddit. So, you know, you can't take it too seriously. Oh, but basically, it's Rodan and Lawrence Thomas going back at each other, and Rodan's kind of saying, yeah, this is what happens when you go and be a third-string goalkeeper, don't play a second, and, you know, get injured for nothing. And then
What did you get injured doing?
I think he got a bit injured in Socceroo's camp. I'm not too sure.
He came back to play 45 minutes.
Yeah, he played 45 minutes and then on his return came off.
It's a fair shout. And then Thomas responds by saying, you know, I was representing my country, and they go back and forth, and then Rodan tries to shake his hand and Thomas slaps it away. That's the speculation. It's all alleged. Nothing.
Well, that sounds like a bit of, you know, a bit of goss, but... A
bit of handbags.
A bit of Gosford action. A little bit of sauce bottle.
Not as concrete as, you know, Milos Ninkovic getting kicked out. From the CFC. We need that illegal access. But got a question, Marco Rodan, and he's caught my speculation as the peak connoisseur. Peak. Peak A-League moment of the week.
Oh. Is this a peak moment of the week?
My peak moment of the week happened in the AFC Champions League when Ronaldo... This is... Okay, let's get to my actual peak moment of the week. My peak moment... Oh, fuck. I caught out. And first off, I just want to forgive the viewers that this is becoming a Melbourne City podcast. It does help. It's probably the biggest game of the week, and it is fresh in our minds being yesterday. My peak moment of the week has to be when you pull out as many subs as you have goals conceded at halftime, plus one, and do the good old and change half your outfield players at halftime and still continue to concede another three further goals. It must have been one of the stupidest tactical moves I've ever seen. Seriously, anyone who's ever picked up a game of FIFA knows they don't play their final sub till the 80th minute, or just don't play it at all in case your player gets injured. It's common sense, you know. It's just crazy. Three at most, now that you can, you've still got two more in the bank. Three at most. Five is just... It's just stupid.
Yeah, I reckon it was just purely emotional. Like, he's just cracked the shits and said, you're off. I reckon that's what happened. It wasn't tactical. I reckon he's just trying to make a statement to his players.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's still stupid, though.
Yeah, for sure.
And my other peak moment of the week, this is just peak commentary. I'm slurring my words now. Remember when Patrick Wood...
40 beers, mate.
Oh, mate, no beers for me. I just... not enough water.
Got to stay hydrated, Nicky. Got to stay hydrated.
Patrick Wood missed that sitter. Ages ago when Sydney FC were on top of the game. And everyone's like, that's PK Luke. Ha, ha, ha. Did you see the sitter that Cristiano Ronaldo missed?
No.
It literally fell on his feet in the middle. He was in a paddock. Oh, it wasn't in a paddock. The goalkeeper was 1 foot in front of him.
The Saudi Arabian desert.
And he was one-on-one with the goalie. It fell on his feet. And he doesn't even aim. The goalie gets nowhere near it. He's right in front. And somehow he misses the whole goals. And it goes past the outside post.
It
would have been easier to hit the goalie. He's obviously he's missed it all from being in the middle, 2 feet out, right in front. And I don't want anyone ever to say skill issues at peak A League ever again, because that's not peak A League's for. Peak A League's about the culture.
We watch Cassini Yankees miss this morning for Portsmouth.
He scored two goals as well, though. Give him his props.
Does not matter. Look at the chance he missed. It was literally 2 centimetres in front of goal.
He got a Pedenka penalty. He was beautiful. Doesn't matter. Aww, give him some slack.
Cassini Yenge in his next game is going to pull out his Spotify and do the shush gesture. Do the shush celebration.
The four-man wall in the back.
That's my PK League moment of the week. Marco Rodan, enjoy your leave getting paid out when they terminate your contract.
Well, this is what I want to say, because with all this drama going on in Western Sydney playing like ass, my first burning question for you, Andy, is burnt extra crispy. Did Western Sydney just cut their losses and fire him?
Yeah, look, history says yes, but who knows,
just do it.
Fair enough.
Just do it. All right.
Andy, give us your best Donald Trump. You're cutting out a bit?
He's good.
No, you're good. Hopefully you're good. Give us your best Donald Trump, you're in The Apprentice, you're the fire. Boss, give us your best...
That was terrible, but
there's a cat outside.
Yeah, to answer your question, Sean, the last few times that I can remember in the A-League when a club has lost by six or more goals, they've all been shortly followed by a sacking. Yeah, exactly. Brisbane was the last one, and in December, Brebner. I think Brebner,
and Melbourne with Rado.
City at the start of this season.
That was six, though, wasn't
six,
it?
Yeah, 6-0 when we lost to Adelaide. Rado was sacked after that game. When City beat Victory 7-0 a couple of seasons ago, their coach was sacked that night, I think. So, yeah, I just don't think a 7-0, all-time record loss bodes well for anyone, even if your name is Marco Rodin. And obviously, he's been around for quite a while, and you know, he's a legend at the club, so it won't be a decision that's made lightly by them. But yeah,
What has he done for the club, though?
Like,
was he an assistant before being a manager, or?
I actually don't know.
Well, he turned them around from cellar dwellers to competitors last season. Yeah. But the way they're going right now, they're heading right back down.
So. I feel like they've already hit their ceiling under him, you know, like you said, Sean, they're already heading back down. Oof. So I think they got, you know, pretty close to it last season, and they gave everything they had, but I just don't think they were quite good enough to get there. So
I think
you'd have to invest a lot more time into him if you want to see them make finals again under him, I reckon. But
fucking hell. Harsh stuff from the usually positive Andy right there. He's holding nothing back.
Doing some research on the fly. I think with Rodin, he's only really had two seasons, you know. He's only really had two seasons with So this is his second full season. So he did 6 months before. He's only really gotten him up the ladder. He hasn't achieved much in his stint at Western Sydney Wanderers. He's only gotten him up from, you know, out of finals to their first appearance since 2016-2017. Fuck, can I restart?
Nah, you're done. Damo, what do you reckon? Get rid of Rodin.
What is it?
I was just reading that apparently Western Sydney have reached out to Tony Popovich.
Really?
Whose contract expires at Melbourne Victory at the end of the season.
Interesting.
Wow. There may be some changes already being made behind the scenes.
I was going to say, get rid of Rodin now so you can be in the Patrick Cusnorbo sweepstakes.
Yeah, but then you're just left with bloody John Paul De Marini, who, as we saw, just
doesn't cut it.
He can't do it. And he hasn't cut it any other time he's been in that position as well. So,
right.
As far as I'm concerned, if you get rid of Marco Rodin, you have to get rid of his backroom staff as well.
Yeah, I don't understand what Marco Rodin ever. All he's done is he's taken him up the ladder for one season, and in that season, they lost to Sydney FC in the finals anyway, in a pretty meek performance.
Yeah.
This season looked promising too. However, you know, it's probably going to be even more disappointing than some of their cellar dweller seasons because the promise was so high this year. And the promise was really high last year too, but they just couldn't capitalize a few fall against the final hurdles when Central Coast Mariners took their chances.
Yeah.
So I believe they're going to... I don't understand where the praise has come from. I think his best. He's really a dynamo, isn't he? Like, he's good at getting teams up fast, but they come down equally as fast. Wellington, and then he left at the end of his contract before the end of his contract with Wellington. Western United, I mean, first season, so he did pretty well to, like, you know, get them playing, but then they were equally a shit the next year. And now it looks like Western Sydney Wanderers are going to serve the same fate. He's no Ufuk Tele, that's for sure.
Big Ufuk, what a man. Absolute legend. Couldn't get over the Brisbane Roar, though, and I reckon we will transition to some other games. Damo, I'll go to you. What's a game that you would like to talk about from the weekend?
I honestly could not remember. I was working all weekend, so...
Oh,
far out. Couldn't really catch up with many games. However, I did catch the, I think it was Brisbane Roar game.
Yeah, against Sydney.
Against Sydney, yes. And once again, just Sydney kind of with this high pressure, bloody intense game that they're playing. Still a few things that they need to get sorted, but you can definitely see, that this is certainly the way that they're going to be playing. And I thought mix it in with Ruben Zadkovic's high octane style. it was actually quite an interesting game to watch. So they were my observations over the weekend.
We do love a good high octane 1-1 draw. That's always absolutely what we want to see. Kind of disappointed that we couldn't beat a 10-man Sydney FC with Goodwood Wright getting a red card in the 25th minute.
Yes, which is another talking point. But
good crowd.
Yeah, good crowd.
11,000.
11,000
crowd.
Sydney FC pull good crowds. I feel like it's a bit underrated because, you know, they're probably more of an establishment club, but I think it should still be celebrated.
Absolutely. It certainly helps when you've got decent public transport access, Western United do. What do you mean?
Western United.
Don't they have the horse and carriage? Bloody.
you're so funny, Damo.
That was good, Damo.
The V-line. That was well done. I didn't see that coming. I thought this was a classic Damo fucks up moment, but this is a classic Damo's got it. He's got it all right here.
I'd like to nominate a game to talk about too. I'd like to nominate a game too. Central Coast were emphatic, I would say, over MacArthur. And they are, they're the top dog now. I think Wellington will still be quite a contender. But I think Central Coast are the form team. They're playing a more consistent brand of football. They're more consistent across the field. A bit more founded, if you understand where I'm saying. You know, they've still got, core players from that Premiership squad. No Marco Tullio, but they've still got Brian Kaltak, Joshy Nisbet, and they've increased their strike power with Wenzel Halls.
No. Ali Kwol. And this Edmondson fellow who scored. Yes. And Barcelos scored as well. So two goal scorers, different goal scorers.
Yes, and they've also got a good old Angel Torres.
Angel
Torres.
One of the best players in the league, mate. He's a gun.
I was just saying, the A-League site provides some really good stats. Some really good stats. You know, they got Jacob. Who else has got Jacob Farrell? It was all there last year, I'm pretty sure he was. Joshy Nisbet.
They'd have a good core.
Nick is the king of tangents, I swear to you.
It's a good core of good
tangents make good podcasts, mate.
Good tangents do make good podcasts. I'm just rizzing ya. I'm Josh nizzing ya. I'm sorry.
But
on Nisbet, and I reckon the other star to mention is Jacob Farrell.
Jacob Farrell, honestly, probably one of the most underrated players in the whole league, if not.
He does play for
Australia.
Well,
I think he is probably the best left back that Australia has at the moment.
Wow. Ahead of Jordy Bosch?
I think Jordy Bosch is definitely a better left wing back. But I think defensively, Jacob Farrell is definitely better.
You have them both ahead of Bayage?
Yes. When their time comes, once they're, a little bit more polished to professional footballers.
Oh, fuck, this is not good. Everyone's Farrell has
definitely the better defensive capabilities. Mm. I think he could almost even play a little bit more centrally as well, but he's very good going forward, too. He's actually very underrated going forward. And
yeah.
As you'll probably hear later, he was probably one of the shouts for my so far for the under-23 player of the year. So
yeah, totally fair. All right, we'll get to that shortly. But I was going to ask because I was chatting with Verde last night. Shout out to Verde, how you doing, big dog? Absolute legend. And he was making the case that Melbourne City should be manhunting Josh Nisbet, headhunting, I should say.
Absolutely,
Josh Nisbet.
Yeah.
But do we think Nizzy and Farrell, for that matter, are they set for a, you know, a move to another A-League club, a bigger A-League club, if you want to say that, or Europe?
I would have thought Nisbet was close, and yeah, probably Farrell as well. But yeah, maybe one more season in the A-League would do him good.
Well, that just got me thinking, because Aaron Moy was obviously at Western Sydney Wanderers and playing very well, akin to Josh Nisbet at Central Coast Mariners. So you can almost see the similarity there, where Josh Nisbet goes to Melbourne City and has these Aaron Moy type performances, and then goes overseas, and you know he's probably 26 by the time he does end up going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, you're in your prime. You hopefully slot into a first team somewhere, but that should be the sort of framework that Australian players or clubs try to implement. But I honestly don't see why he couldn't just go there straight from the Mariners, because I think he's
totally fair.
Definitely good enough to fit into a Scottish or like a lower, like a Belgium or a
like a Dutch league, et cetera, for sure. I'll go to you now, Nick. Just give me a game that you want to kind of touch on briefly. Keep it nice and concise if there's anything you want to bring up. I
just did with Central Coast MacArthur. That was,
oh, true, you did. Sorry, my bad. My apologies.
I don't have much more to give, and I just want to say...
Well, I'll bring up the Perth Glory game. 2-2 draw with Newcastle. But unfortunately, game. Good game.
I forgot it was on. I was knackered after going out to the Melbourne City game in the heat. I was chilling in bed. I'm like, fuck, there's still A-League on.
Yeah. But I wanted to bring it up because there was yet some more fan drama.
Yes.
I don't want to like dwell on this too much because we did a lot of it last week. You can listen to our podcast there, The Four Man Wall, at Online Hub Media, at foreman.wall. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and whatnot. It's good stuff.
Favorite app is whatnot.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I mean, it's all whatnot. But yeah, the Perth CEO, Anthony Radich, brought up how much he was concerned by the reports that some venue security staff had been very hands-on with fans, like telling Newcastle fans that they couldn't get up out of their seats when their team scored a goal, things like that, which is fucking insane, quite frankly. But I don't know. There have been steps since last week. You know, there was a meeting between the players' union and the league, if I'm not mistaken. Three of the Western Sydney bans have been overturned and the other two are being investigated. And the Brisbane Roar have instigated stadium marshals for future games, who kind of act as a liaison between the fans and security staff. So I'll ask you, all of you, whoever wants to kind of speak on this, is this kind of, are we heading in the right direction or is it still not enough?
That's a tough question to answer, Sean. I honestly don't know.
I think we need more time.
Mm.
Yeah, that's fair.
More time.
More time is good. Yeah, job.
Definitely not enough.
More time, and then any news that arise, I think we just need to judge it on case by case.
Yeah.
Look, it's disappointing. People need to go to the game to have fun, and people need to be safe, but we shouldn't be overbeared upon.
Yeah.
These are all issues that have arisen. Been in Australian football for as long as time, since pretty much professional or semi-pro, like proper football at the top level in Australia has been played. There's always been this prejudice. So, look, it's going to take a while for everything to kind of work itself out, and whether that does happen or not. It needs to, because obviously without the fans, the game is nothing. So, I think.
Totally fair. All right, let's move on to happier things, fellas.
I got something. random fact of the day. Did you know Terry Antonis was in the 2015 Asian Cup squad? He's technically a winner.
Hey, he's a good player.
Yeah. Only three Socceroos Cups and none in the Asian Cup.
Yeah, he's a good player. Awesome, good goals, mate.
Second?
I think he was the only. That goal was almost as sexy as Andy's new haircut. Can I just say, Andy's new haircut is looking very, very
looking
nice.
Very schmick.
Oh, that was such a wholesome smile from Andy, too. He was like...
He loves it. He loves it.
Thanks.
Lee doesn't give him enough compliments, man. I've got to take care of it for him.
Appreciate it, mate.
Eddie Collingwood, go.
Move on, Nick. I've got about 12 minutes before I got to go. So, Damo, burning question number two. All right, it's been, what, 20-odd game weeks so far this season? It's been some good stuff. Lots of talented players have come through. So I'm asking you very simply, who has been the best player under 23 years of age so far this year?
Well, considering I will be going to the land of the Kiwi, it is only...
Kiwi history!
It is only reasonable that I take a trip over the Tasman and say that Alex Paulson has by far been the best under 23 player.
Good
this season. Taking it over, probably I'd say from Jacob Farrell and Nick Milanovic.
Milanovic?
Yeah.
He's a good player. Very good player.
So,
I saw some people shouting out Jake Gerwood-Reich as well.
Yep, that's a fair call.
Ooh, pardon
Ben
me.
Old.
Yep, they're all probably in my top 10.
And Jakey Holman.
All in the top 10.
Mm.
But for me, just in terms of consistency, just ability to make you go, holy shit, did he actually just do that? I think, Alex Paulson, he is probably the next million-plus dollar signing.
Wow.
If he ends up getting a transfer overseas, I would say.
Hot take from Damon Serra. That's some spicy stuff. That's three chilies on the Indian food menu right there.
Think about it, like...
Wowie.
Geordie Boss went for, 2.5 mil, I think? AUD. And, I don't see why Alex Paulson is worth any less than, a mil and a half, at least, 2 mil.
Yeah.
But whoever's got their scouting glasses on and obviously isn't afraid to take a risk on the A-League, which seems to be something that European clubs don't like doing. I think
getting better, though.
You'll find yourself absolutely getting better, but you'll definitely find yourself a top-notch quality goalkeeper in Alex Paulson if you do.
Hell yeah. His current market value on transfer market is 350,000 euros. So.
Which probably, translates to about 700.
500 grand, 550
grand. 500, 550, or there
you go.
He's getting there slowly but surely.
Bit of a bargain on transfer market then, so.
It'd be a bargain on FIFA, it'd be a bargain on Footy Manager, I'll tell you. And I got to say, with Marco Rodan and him, sending in his assistant manager, I do that all the time in Footy Manager.
Oh, man.
I can't be bothered.
It's the first thing I change on the settings is the assistant does everything except for the actual matches.
Yeah, exactly. Bloody pain in the ass. Yeah, got to make sure they coach the friendlies as well. I'm not sitting in on
exactly. Oh, the friendlies are the worst. Time. I tell you, that's why I never get through Footy Manager. There's just too much background to get through. And then the chair never wants to take on any of your signings. It's like, trust me, you got to get LA Rose.
Oh my god.
Jeez.
I am surprised Andy didn't mention Lockie Wales in the list of greatest Melbourne City players ever. That was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, it's tough on him.
But let's
been snubbed.
Very tough. Let's do split the wall, shall we, fellas?
Let's do it.
Yeah, that's the enthusiasm I'm after. That's some rampaging stuff from the boys. Hell yes. This is a segment where two of my beautiful co-hosts argue a specific topic, 60 seconds each. I'm going to ask them a question. It will be the reigning champion, Damo, up against Andy this week, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what you said.
That's what I said. I'm sticking with it.
That's what he said.
And as we get closer to the end of the season, we're talking football here, boys. The question is very simple. Who is going to win the wooden spoon in 2024?
Dame.
Very simple stuff. Dame, are you the reigning champ? So you can yeah, you can pick first, my brother. Or you can pull a Nick and delegate. It's up to you.
No.
I'm made for middle management for those delegation skills.
Absolutely.
All right, where the fuck are the points? Oh, there. All right.
Ready?
I am ready.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
I actually think, based on recent form, that Adelaide United will finish bottom of the table. I think their form has been abysmal for pretty much the last 3 months, 4 months. Haven't had any consistency with team personnel. I think Carl Wirtz kind of losing an uphill battle with management as well about the direction of the club and how they want to play. And I think with all that confusion in play, I don't think that they will get many more points, and I think Western United will overtake them.
Wow.
Yes.
Wowie.
Wowie, indeed. He's done. He's done with 5 seconds to spare very nicely. Very nicely said. That means, Andy, you've got a couple of options here.
I do.
Do you know which direction you're going to go?
Yes, I do.
All right. Confidence. Beautiful. We love that from the boys. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
Look, I'm going to tell you guys that, I think Western United are going to seal away the wooden spoon. Again, we've been talking about them a bit this season, and while they have had a bit of an improvement the last few weeks in their form, I don't think they're going to be able to sustain that for the rest of the season. And while Adelaide are in poor form as well, I just think they've got a lot more tools in their arsenal to turn things around compared to Western United. Mm. So, again, Aloisi, I still don't know if he's the man for the job. I'm not seeing it. and while it is actually pretty tight now down the bottom of the table compared to what it has been, I just think that Newcastle, who are 10th, I'm a lot more positive about them. You know, they've got, I think, a lot more going for them. So, yeah, I think Adelaide and Western United are separate from the rest in this this discussion. But, yeah.
That's time, lad. That is time. Two strong arguments. So we got Adelaide from Damo and Western United from Andy. You both spoke very well, very eloquently. You elucidated impressively, I thought. That was nice.
Thanks, mate.
Nick, do you have a thought on whom gets the dub in that situation?
I just think Damo, you know. I think you've got to base it on form, you know. Western United, 3 out of 5. You know, and Adelaide United, shit out of shit. So...
Shit out of shit. I mean, well, I can't really...
This form could be turned around if, you know, they started playing Iron Kunda.
Iron Kunda scored a banger on the weekend.
That was a really good goal, yeah.
And just, I don't know, I've said it many times that this Adelaide United team just seems lost at the moment. They don't know what they're trying to be. So yeah, hence why I think that they're going to finish last.
Bloody hilarious seeing all the Adelaide fans on Reddit just absolutely tear into the team and Carl Viet for the system they're playing right now. The players they got are pretty decent, but it's just not working. They haven't had a clean sheet since round 2.
Yeah.
You know what? I am going to go with Damo as well, so that's a win for Dame and Sarah. You're on a bit of a tear right now, brother. I'm proud of you.
Well done, Damo.
But good effort there, Andy. Very good effort.
You should have.
Be curious. Very curious to see how the season plays out. But I'm going to rattle off a few news stories and then we'll wrap things up. We won't do the Sam Kerr stuff because that will take way too long. So,
Shane Warne,
just a few quick ones.
What are Shane we going to call legacy. The new Auckland team? What are our
The Auckland FC Orcas. Auckland. We've done this before.
Yeah.
No. FC have you Auckland. Seen the short list? Have you seen the that? Apparently, they could be called the Auckland Volcano.
Oh, really? Really? Oh, right. So the that Warriors, the Volcanoes, list. The Lions, and the Bombers.
Oh, God.
That is on the short list.
The Warriors currently have 3 times as many votes as the other options. So.
Auckland.
If
Warriors.
They're not called AFC Auckland or FC Auckland, I will riot because.
Ooh.
They can't be the Lions. We already have the Roar. Grow up.
I don't think they're gonna call themselves FC or United or anything. Actually, nah, fuck it.
AFC Auckland sounds sick.
Yeah, it does.
The Auckland Football Club, does. Auckland.
Bloody hell. But in other news, the nation of Mauritius are targeting Mariners young guns.
Yes.
And what are they named? Miguel de Picio,
his brother. He plays for Sydney Olympic as well.
Yes, indeed.
And just a few other NPL players.
Yeah. Mauritius going strong, trying to build up their footballing nation. Aiden Hrustic, playing himself back into form, could be in contention for the next Socceroos squad.
Auckland United. Back to our Auckland chat. Auckland United are... in the World Club World Cup, they're going to be playing up against like Man City, Porto.
Yeah,
I don't know why Porto came second out of all those European clubs. Real Madrid, whatnot, in the 24-team competition, and they've actually got the most experience in the Club World Cup compared to all the other teams that have qualified.
That's amazing.
But, yeah, they've qualified 12 times, and they're probably going to finish 24th out of 24.
Yeah. Nah, they've got Porto's number 100%.
Oh,
100%.
All that experience has got to count for something.
And actually, at Auckland, they have apparently signed Dan Hall.
Yes.
Rumour has it to join there already. What they've got, you know, Brimmer, Rohash. Yeah.
Yep.
Dan Hall from Central Coast.
Yep.
Defender. He's a good player.
It's a very good spine.
They call him the Hall Monitor.
I love you, Nick. I really do. You're an absolute gem of a man. And finally, Marty Boyle is stable.
Oh, yeah.
After a bit of a head knock. So he's fine, but we'll probably miss games against Lebanon. The last thing on the agenda before we wrap things up is a burning question for Nick, my brother in Christ. A fun one. I saw this on the Reddits because I can't help myself. What is the best stadium food you've ever had in your entire life?
All right. Got to do Nick's top top scrans.
Nick's top scrans. That's good.
Top scrans. At number 5, butter chicken with rice and naan at the Adelaide Oval.
That does sound elite.
Good shout.
It was decent, but... Hopes were dashed. It was a bit too runny, a bit too watery, a bit too made for manufacture. But it was good to have something different. It was flavourful, it was yum, it was nice. Got to go number 4. We're going to go with the classic fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
Yeah, fish and chips. Can't go wrong there. Any venue is generally good. I generally like the MCG's fish and chips. It goes down nicely. It's a good option because sometimes venues can overcook the chicken. The chicken breast can get quite dry, but it's pretty fucking hard to fuck up fish. Damo would disagree. Fish and chip shop is a craft, but let's be honest, it's easy for the 16-year-olds to fry too. Number 3, I'm going to go to Ice Cream Cabinet at the Sydney Football Stadium, or, you know, from Allianz Stadium. That was stocked to the brim. It was fantastic to see. That was great. Number 2, got to be, look, it's good, but it can't beat number 1. It was popcorn chicken.
Oh!
Southern fried chicken style popcorn chicken at Allianz Stadium when I was there for Unite Round. It was flavoursome, it was crunchy, it was great. Only issue, it was too expensive and it was too much. So, like, it was too, like, as in, like, good, a lot of food, but I'd rather it be like cheaper and less so I could eat it all and enjoy it. And also in a combo of chips to make it like one meal rather than one or the other. Had popcorn chicken today from KFC. It was great. Number one, the one and only. I just want to emphasize, I think going out to pubs is overrated for a game unless you're having beer. Buying meals out is more it's okay, Deshaun has his headphones off because he'll listen to this in the edit. buying meals out is more expensive, and especially Taco Bell. Never go to Taco Bell before a game because you'll end up 20 minutes late, especially if your name's Andy. It's a waste of money because you end up paying $35 for a meal and everyone's like, oh, but it's better than the stadium food. No, it's not. It's food. Get it in your gob and then go to a pub when you actually want a pub meal and enjoy a pub meal. Don't use it as an excuse to go to the pub just because you're going to the game. Save yourself $17. Don't go to the pub because for $18 at Amy Park, you can get the Amy Park chicken and chips. And yes, they did change their chicken supply and it was shit when it happened. But you know what? It's comeback redeeming. You can get free chicken tenders. Juicy, succulent, oh! And then the chips, it's a plethora of chips. There's almost too much. I reckon they should do less chips, focus on the crunch, less chips. Smothered in chicken salt, oh, chef's kiss. And I just want to say, Amy Park do it best, because other places skimp out on the chicken, only do two. Amy Park does three. They do it best. I've seen them skimp out, and when you skimp out on the chicken, it risks people removing the chicken and putting it on theirs. I've seen it. It's feral behavior. I have called it out in public, and I will do it again.
Totally fair. All right. I do have to go very now, but that was fantastic. Thank you all very much.
Very now.
Have you guys had fun?
Yes. As always.
Awesome. Thank you, Deshaun, of course.
That was a great podcast.
Have fun playing tennis.
Alright, hilarious. Tennis is good exercise. This has been the Four Man Wall. Thank you all. Really.
Now that Paddy Kisnorbo no longer manages in Ligue 1. We don't have to pronounce the club's name correctly, so it's a shame to see him go from FC Troyes.
That's right.
On to get a gig at, Lyon or
Lyon.
Marcel.
Oh my
Martial.
God. That took a real gears of grinding on this one.
Or maybe at Nice.
At Nice.
That would be nice.